This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch Podcast, the weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hey guys, how's it going?
This week's HD Brunch cover star is a supermodel who's inspired so many people I know to follow their passion with a career in modeling. Lakshmi Rana is someone anyone and everyone in and outside the country recognizes for her sheer talent and hard work. Join fashion writer and expert Bharat Gupta as he chats with Lakshmi about alternate careers models need to start thinking about and her lockdown learnings, among other things.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch Podcast. You know, to be on a cover is every girl's dream, but to be on the cover again and again and on different covers time and again, it only takes legends. It takes supermodels. India's known for beauty, but there are some girls who take beauty to new levels and change the definition of beauty. Lakshmi Rana is one such supermodel who has defied any norms, who has defied what standards of beauty are in the country, and has quite effectively made it her own with decades of contribution to the fashion industry.
Thank you, Bharat. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the lovely introduction.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So Lakshmi, you know, you started modeling at a time where the market was still evolving. Modeling as a career was not something that a lot of people took as a full-time profession. How did you make the decision of being in the industry and standing tall as your own?
Well, I started in 2000, Bharat. And at that point of time, modeling was something which wasn't a very looked up to profession. I was preparing for engineering. I was preparing for various other competitions. And it's something that came to me as a matter of destiny, because I've always believed that it's usually the profession that chooses you rather than the other way around. I harmlessly entered a competition in Dehradun, which is called Navy Queen. And I became the Navy Queen that year. And my mother made a very important contribution to my career by telling me not to pursue modeling without trying to reach the top and to try to enter from the topmost platform available. At that time, it was Miss India. And this was the Lara Dutta Priyanka Chopra batch, wherein I was one of the top five finalists. And post that, there was never any looking back.
So, you know, when you take part in Miss India and when you have the likes of Lara and Priyanka and being in the top five with them already goes to show the sort of commitment you had and the sort of competition that there was even back then. Do you think, Lakshmi, that in effect, the competition today is even more? Are there more people vying to be in the modeling industry as compared to back then?
Yes, I feel, Bharat, there is a huge, huge competition level that has actually increased during these times rather than then, because at that point of time, very few people even wanted to get into this industry. there was, again, however, the attitude was the same. You know, you enter the industry then and to enter the industry now, the attitude was the same. And that was to give in your best. And at that point of time, I remember I was coming in from Dehradun, from school, and I hardly had anything. I had about two pairs of jeans and about five t-shirts, which I went in with for Miss India. And it was my confidence and my personality that took me through to the top five. And the same thing goes now. However, the competition is so huge now that there is a lot of more preparation that one needs to do before getting into the industry and so that they make a mark. So that's where the difference lies.
And then we talk about changing roles. You know, Lakshmi, you have been an icon in the industry. You have shaped your career and in effect generated business for designers, because I personally feel that models have a huge role in how the market perceives their outfits as. And now you have changed your role or actually not even changed. You've advanced your role into helping the aspiring models, into creating an environment where, you know, they are not searching and they're not out and about just trying to figure out how the industry works. Because unfortunately, as you have colleges for other professional courses, modeling yet does not have a certification or a diploma or a degree course. But you've introduced your own academy. You've introduced your own grooming and training school for models. How did that come about?
Bharat, I have been noticing through all these years, all the aspiring models who've been coming into the industry. I have been modeling for 20 years now, and I'm still in the game. I'm still working. And I have realized that those things which I achieved through all these years, it's becoming very difficult for the newer lot to get there, you know, and that is probably because I learned on the job. And there are so many things that I wish they knew, which can further them in their career. And they should know how to break the glass ceiling, you know, because a lot of them kind of comes to a point and then the graph becomes very, very still and very horizontal for them. Whereas the graph should actually grow in there when it comes to their career. And there are these aspects that I wish for the longest time that I could have told them and, you know, I could have kind of guided them all along. But I never had the time. I was working back and back to back. And this lockdown gave me the opportunity to actually bring about a real change and a real difference to the way modeling is perceived in India, not only by people around us, but also by the people who are trying to enter the industry. It's a whole perspective that I wanted to bring about and a whole change that I wanted to bring about. And that is what I'm doing through Wilderby Talent Camp.
Kudos to you, Lakshmi, for taking this initiative and for taking time out to really have a dialogue and provide a platform to aspiring models who want the direction. And also along with you, you always get panelists who, you know, from different aspects of the industry who sort of help them grow. So I think it's really going to help aspiring models to do better and to perform better and to grow faster in that aspect. But, you know, Lakshmi, also what happens is when someone's entering the modeling industry, the biggest fear that they have is the longevity of the profession. You know, they always feel that modeling is more of a hobby and, you know, you can probably do it in your late teens and early 20s and eventually you need to get into something else because either it may not pay you well enough or you may start looking older and the younger models will take your space. So there is a lot of competitiveness and a lot of insecurities in and around that aspect. You, of course, stand by example because you have been able to sustain yourself for a period of 2 decades, as you stated. Do you really think that modeling has an age barrier or do you think it's all in the mind?
Well, it's the way one looks at it. I have been, as you said, I've been a living example of how I've made it into a full-fledged career. And now I know how to extend it in the same space, but from a different side, from a different platform. What I would say that yes, modeling per se has a shelf life, but the way an aspiring model kind of understands what it is going to give her and where it is going to take her or take him is what is the most important thing for her or him to get. For me, it is what we do at Wilderby Talent Camp is we teach everybody the business of modeling, because modeling today is a serious profession, you know, like the fashion industry. It is a well-paying job. It has various aspects to grow. It has various ways one can grow in it. You don't have to only be a model in this space. You can, you know, branch off as a stylist, as a makeup artist, and take it to a different level. Also, as models, it's also about how you invest your money, how you grow your portfolio, how you become a business, a person, a brand of your own. So as you can see, Bharat, a lot of influencers have gotten into modeling and have now become influencers, have now started to model. And I have always believed that I give them full points for doing that. However, I feel models as well can do a lot about when it comes to their personal branding and become influencers of sort for brands too, because they definitely are in the midst of the fashion industry and they know the entire skill set to kind of project an item or a brand or whatever that they are trying to sell. And they are the best people to kind of represent that brand. So why not look at modeling in those aspects? And that's exactly where I come in. And I want to tell all the aspiring models that, you know, don't look at modeling like only a hobby. It is about looking at it like a full-fledged business and where you can take it thereon if you play it well.
I'd agree. You know, it's what you make of the opportunities that you get and how you keep growing and making your graph go upwards professionally. You know, for a lot of models, it's a launch pad. Modeling becomes a launch pad to eventually get into acting. Fortunately or unfortunately, we belong to a country which is Bollywood obsessed in that sense. You know, a lot of the showstoppers are Bollywood actors and actresses. A lot of fashion magazine covers, spots are taken by actors and actresses. This question to you has two parts to it. Number one, considering that you were in Miss India and you performed so well, did you think that getting into Bollywood was the next step for you? Part number two is that do you think that Bollywood takes away from a lot that models could actually do, but just because in our country, you know, we feel that clients will buy products more if there is a Bollywood actor or actress involved in it. Therefore, a lot of endorsements are given to them. Do you feel that models can justify a lot more of those roles, but because Bollywood plays such a strong part in our country, therefore those jobs are taken away?
Well, to answer your question, Bharat, I was approached by many people for acting jobs, but the point is that I was never interested in Bollywood at all. It was not my cup of tea. And that I was very sure of from the very beginning. I wanted to be in the fashion industry and I wanted to stick to my strength. And my strength was, and my heart also lied on the ramp and in fashion. So I believe that, you know, you either take your strengths to a place where you reach the top, or you work on your weaknesses and, you know, you only work on your weaknesses and that doesn't take you anywhere. So for me, I worked on my strengths to reach the top and that's where it got me. The other thing is that, yes, I believe that Bollywood is completely overrated in India. Even though there are a few very good filmmakers who are bringing out the right message and who are taking on strong topics, there are many who aren't. So Bollywood for me is, one, is overrated. Two, I feel that models can do a lot more justice to fashion and to the brands than Bollywood ever could. So Bharat, and if you see during fashion shows, whenever a Bollywood star is a showstopper, you will see that, you know, most times the brand is taken over by the Bollywood star or the movie that he or she is doing. And it defeats the purpose. And which is why for a lot of serious designers, they have stopped using Bollywood stars as showstoppers. You know, in the past few years, Tarun Tahiliani, Gaurav Gupta, a lot of others have stopped doing that. And I feel that that is with good purpose, because fashion is a serious place to be, and one need not need crutches of the Bollywood to move ahead in life if you want to be taken as a serious designer or a brand. Having said that, I feel that models today need to concentrate on, one, modeling, yes, and two, on side by side, also have various degrees of effort put in towards different interests that they have. It could be styling, it could be acting, it could be photography. So today I know a lot of my friends who are doing various things apart from doing modeling. And it will take them, it's like they are kind of preparing themselves for something after modeling, you know. So once you have a different kind of a platform from and have revenue, modeling also becomes a very, very happy place to be. Because the kind of competition today that is there and the kind of money that comes in through modeling in today's times is not good enough for a model really to, for an aspiring model especially, to really sustain themselves. So it is really important. I have always believed it's important to kind of today have a multi level approach to the career per se.
Right. So all the aspiring models who are listening to us right now, you must gauge your level of interest and diversify your portfolio into something that will give you an opportunity to look at other avenues which are related to the industry, but will help you sustain for longer. Now, you know, Lakshmi, back in the day, the definition of a model was very definite. You know, you needed to be a certain body type, you needed to be a certain height. In our country, even skin color was a preferred norm in that sense. In the current scenario, there is a dialogue or a narrative that talks about inclusivity. You know how we talk about sustainability and inclusivity? These are two terms that have sort of made their way into fashion. Now, personally, inclusivity, I feel, is a very, very important aspect because, one, that is what your client is. Your client is not a typical model. Therefore, you need to present on the ramp what is going to be sold off the ramp. Secondly, I also feel that beauty standards need to, the definition of beauty standards need to change. Younger girls and younger boys and people need to understand that beauty does not need to be bracketed in a certain way so everyone appreciates the way they look, which helps their self-acceptance towards themselves. I know, Lakshmi, that you have worked with a lot of models who have either different types of skin, who come at different body shapes and body sizes, who come at not only men and women, but also models of the LGBTQ plus community. You've in fact trained them also as a part of your training module at your academy. How serious do you think that the fashion industry is about inclusivity, and what work do you think is required to be done to further this notion?
I'm glad that you brought this up. The core value or the core concept of Vildavi Talent Camp, which is my brand, is inclusivity and body positivity. When we started off, this was what we wanted to project, because honestly, I feel that the industry, the Indian fashion industry, really needs to grow in that department. So I've always been a constant spokesperson of the Indian skin color and how we all as Indians should be comfortable with our skin color. I have come on interviews while I spoke about how models need to understand the business of modeling and how to manage their own finances. Because it is a short-term career, and how and what do you come out of it with by the end of it is what matters, which leads to a lot of stress if you haven't done it properly, and hence also suicides. I remember coming on METV and various other news channels when Viveka Babaji and Nafisa Joseph had committed suicide. So these are the things that I've always been talking about, and hence I did come up with Vildavi Talent Camp as a brand which encourages and which supports inclusivity and body positivity in the field of fashion. Because Bharat, I feel that fashion is the epitome of what beauty is, and a lot of people kind of look up to it and get inspired by it. So for us in the fashion industry, it is imperative and a matter of necessity that we broaden this concept of beauty and become more inclusive and get more people into it and make people understand that, you know, it is not about a perfect size or a perfect face or a perfect color or a perfect gender. It is about everybody who thinks that they can do well. And it's about self-love. It's about self-acceptance. And this is one concept that we need to push majorly in this industry, in the Indian fashion industry. And we are far away from it. I feel brands and designers, apart from a couple of them, who've been doing this for years. Abraham and Thakur, I remember, have always been inclusive designers. They've always had very, very interesting faces representing their brand. I remember Gaurav Gupta doing something very interesting last year for Couture Week, where he took plus-size models and transgender models. But a lot of brands today are doing it as a matter of tokenism, unfortunately. And we need to make sure that if we are being inclusive, we make clothes for inclusive people. We have them on the ramp, you know, as a part of the runway order. And we need to kind of bring about a real change. The Liberty Talent Camp and me, we are trying to do that. In fact, in the last few FDCI programs that we did together in collaboration, the first one where we did, we had about 5 inclusive models out of 15 who were a part of a nationwide selection procedure wherein we selected 5 inclusive models, out of which one girl was plus size and had vitiligo, who was selected to walk the ramp for India Fashion Week along with me. And that was a major breakthrough in the entire world of fashion. And this should happen more and more. I feel Sakshi Sinwani is one of those girls who are bringing in a lot of change. And I think more people like you and me should come about and bring this change, which is extremely important right now, given the present scenario and given the present world scenario as well.
So baby steps towards a larger picture, baby steps towards a bigger goal. And Lakshmi, thank you so much for doing so much for the industry, not only as a career for yourself, but also uplifting the future of fashion in effect. You know, for everyone who believes that models are just beauty and not brains, Lakshmi changes that definition. Today, she's an entrepreneur who's furthering the message, who's creating a school for the future of fashion. And more power to you, Lakshmi. Let us move forward in the fashion industry. And when the market opens up again, let's open opportunities for more people and let's change the definition of how the world perceives Indian fashion. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. And thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you, Bharat. This was indeed a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Lakshmi.
So, I've been eating chicken all my life, ever since my mother decided to mash it up and feed it to the toothless version of me. My favorite go-to comfort food remains, clear chicken soup and rice, which really helps when you encounter bouts of sickness. But what I didn't know till I started cooking dishes that were actually edible last year is that there's chicken leg and thigh meat. And the breast part, and that there's a marked difference in their flavors. While ordering in raw chicken, I usually go for the breasts that I flatten out, marinate with herbs and lemon, and make a quick meal. For Chef Megha Kohli's butter chicken recipe, which is a staple every week now, I prefer leg pieces with or without bone. To know more about the difference between the two cuts, listen on to HT Brunch columnist Veer Sanghvi.
It's probably the only context when it is not offensive or at the very least not politically incorrect to ask, what do you prefer, breast or leg? Of course, you can't ask this about human beings, but you can certainly ask it about chicken, because chicken has two completely different kinds of meat. The breast meat is very different from the leg meat. Now, the leg meat and the thigh meat is what most of us eat every day. When we have, say, a chicken tikka, it's almost always the thigh meat, because Indian chefs believe that thigh meat is good. It has flavor, it has muscle, and it's the preferred meat for all Indians. On the other hand, in America, it's the breast meat, which of course they call the white meat to avoid calling it breast meat, that is much preferred. And the argument there is based on health. The argument is that white meat has less calories, it has less fat, and therefore it's healthier. Now, this is true. The problem is that white meat is also relatively flavorless. So to make it flavorful, they fry it, they add sauces, and by the time it comes to your plate, it's full of just as much fat as thigh meat. Is this an important distinction? Well, yeah, it is, because they're two completely different kinds of meat. And to say I like chicken is not enough, because people will ask you, what kind of chicken do you like? So my advice, this is just my advice, is that remember when you go to fast food operations, they usually give you breast. But if you do want to go to a restaurant and do want to enjoy meat, go for the thigh. That's where the fun is.
Honestly, I thought it would be Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Hotstar that would keep me occupied during the pandemic. And it did. For the first few months at least, when I solely relied on it to take my mind off the warped reality we're living in. But I slowly found my way back to reading to help keep my sanity. Of course, it started off with some comfort reads and favorites, which included the entire Harry Potter series. But now I find myself on Amazon or whatever, you know, ordering mystery works, somehow only by women. Having finished whatever I could find of Gillian Flynn of Gone Girl fame, I'm now devouring the works of Ruth Ware and Lisa Jewell, to name a few. Maybe because they are compelling page turners, which keep my mind away from the lockdown, COVID, and the chaos. But that's just me. Here's what HT Brunch columnist Seema Goswami recommends from her reading list.
As regular readers of this column will know, the one thing that has kept me going through the COVID-19 pandemic has been reading. I have sought refuge in old favorites. Books that are so familiar that sinking into them again feels akin to getting a warm hug from an old friend. I have expanded my horizons by trying out new authors who came recommended by fellow book lovers with somewhat mixed results. I have tried to lose myself in the alternate universes of fictional works in an attempt to escape from a reality that is hard to live with. I have attempted to improve myself by reading worthy non-fiction tomes, using the vast stretches of me time not now available to me. But whatever the genre, whoever the author, however good or bad the book, it is reading that has sustained me through this difficult time. In case that works for you as well, this week I give you a short list of recommendations based on what I have been reading in these past few months. But for that, you're going to have to read my column on Sunday. Happy reading.
This week, we've caused a bit of a fun family feud as millennial musicians and in-laws, Pia Pada and Archit Anand, talk about their preferred styles of music, a cappella, which is vocals only, and instrumental music, respectively, in our HT Brunch Sunday Debate column. While you'll have to wait for the next episode for vocalist Pia's a cappella song, we got Archit, the pianist in the family, to play a rendition of John Lennon's Imagine. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to my instrumental cover of John Lennon's Imagine. It is a song that is really close to my heart and definitely one that I relate to the most in these testing times. Thank you. Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.